Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
It's WTIC. Good afternoon. We're going to have a lot of fun this afternoon, even more than usual. That's how I feel anyway, because there are some new ideas that came to me today. I was listening to a conversation with Abigail Schreier. She's the author of a new book called Bad Therapy, Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up. And I was listening to her again on a podcast. I talked about her last week as well. But she was talking about this idea of something called iatrogenesis. Have you ever heard of this? Iatrogenesis. It's the effect that can happen on a patient or a person when they are told a certain thing about themselves. Think of a diagnosis, like you have PTSD. If you're told you have PTSD by somebody who is in a position of authority, that impacts you. And depending on how impressionable you are, that can be in a permanent identity that you adopt. And I was thinking about this on a psychological level, how similar it is to what big government and Democrats in particular do, where they assign people, like, you're poor, you need our help. And because I was thinking about how it doesn't matter how much money they spend on poverty, it just keeps getting bigger. Poverty doesn't get reduced. Anyway, we're going to talk about that in a while. But right now, I want to talk about the new Biden. You know, he just keeps finding one way after another to take money that you work for every day and give it to his voters. And he's got a new program for buying out the student loans, the evil compassion program known as federal student loans, which were done to cure the problem of expensive education. Of course, did the opposite, drove up the cost of education, drove down the quality of it. And intimidated everybody into thinking they had to go to college. Here to talk about the new program and describe it to us is Vance Ginn. He is a free market economist, the only kind legitimate economist there is, and he's the former chief economist for the Office of Management and Budget. He's also a podcaster, because everybody is just climbing to that height to get to a podcaster. You go to the White House, you work as the chief economist for the Office of Management and Budget, so you can get a podcast. Vance Ginn's is called Let People Prosper. Vance, thanks for being back with us on WTIC. Hello, Vance. Uh-oh, I may have the setting wrong still.
Yeah, you gotta change the setting.
But I did. I did change the setting. I don't understand why. Can you try to put him on the air there? I'm set to Talk Studio. That's where I'm supposed to be, right? On my computer? On master control?
There you go.
Okay. Sorry, Vance, I messed up. One sec. We had a Red Sox game yesterday for the first time. All right, let's try it again. Vance, you there?
I'm here.
Ah, we can do it. How about that?
Yes.
Remember this in your podcast career. Never make the audience hear about all your transgressions.
Yeah, it's a good tip. I appreciate it. You never know.
So can you help us with this new thing that Biden is doing? Because our understanding was he had a big one he wanted to do first, a big bailout of people who had student loans. And and that got overturned by a court. But now he keeps going back and picking away. What is this all about?
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure with you today, first of all. And, you know, this was a campaign promise by President Biden saying that he was going to basically forgive all student loan debt. And I think before this election, he's trying to make that promise. He's failed so far. But many people have already had their student loan forgiven for a number of ways that he went through this. And then the Supreme Court last summer said, you know what, this is unconstitutional. So what President Biden did then is to go over to the Department of Education and say, hey, what are the other ways that we could continue to forgive debt to get around this, you know, silly decision by the Supreme Court? And that's what they've been doing. I mean, they're finding right now, the latest is that they want to help out low-income people, those who got Pell Grants while they were in college, and say they're going to forgive all the interest on the debt, which could add up to be quite a bit for some people. But it's like, you know, they just keep finding ways around the laws that are already in place. And don't forget that nothing's free. We're all going to pay for this in the meantime, even if he's able to forgive some debt in the short run.
How does it work that, because we all know, as dumb as we are, naive, regular people, just regular Americans getting conned by our government on a regular basis, whether it's local, state, or federal, they're all trying to scam us because they see now what government is. It's a piggy bank that you can rob indefinitely, and there's no laws against it because the people who rob us are the ones who make the laws. So they obviously aren't going to outlaw their own reason for being. But I feel like people are starting to understand this dynamic. Is this, do you know what the understanding is in Washington about how far they can push this? Do they think they can go forever with buying votes and that nobody's going to notice?
I think so. I think that this is another example of that. Public choice economics talks a lot about how politicians are rational. It's just that they have a different set of costs and benefits than those of us in the private sector. And a big one of those is to get reelected. So they will try to do whatever they can to give out goodies to constituents in order to get reelected, no matter the cost. And unfortunately, this is where we really need the Supreme Court to step in again and say, look, what you did previously was unconstitutional. All these other things you're also doing are unconstitutional. And I don't know that that will stop him immediately, but they're getting so much power that's put in place at the executive branch that Congress needs to take over this power of legislating like they're supposed to have and not allow for this sort of situation to take place. Because, I mean, while this may benefit a few, it's going to hurt everyone in the process through, you know, higher inflation, because this is going to add to the national debt. And we don't have personal responsibility anymore. You just say, okay, you take on all the loans you want. Somebody else, the taxpayer, is going to pay for it.
So you're, I don't know if you meant to be alluding to the federal case that the Supreme Court is hearing on the idea of how the deference case on how the rules that allow the federal agencies to have so much power. Do you think that's going to somehow fix this?
Well, that's the Chevron deference case, and I'm hopeful that that will be overturned. I wasn't referencing that. I was referencing what the Supreme Court did last year with student loans, but now that you brought it up, which I'm glad you did, I do hope that the Supreme Court will overrule that Chevron deference, because it's given regulators too much power. And yes, there's a case for these agencies to have a little bit more room, because Congress writes these bills that are very difficult to read. They're not very clear on what goes in. So it leaves a lot of room for interpretation by these regulators. But that just gives the executive branch and the regulators too much control. And I was in, you know, the White House as chief economist for the Office of Management and Budget for a year. And I saw how much power that you could have. But it depends on who's in there. And I want little of his power as possible at the executive branch to only do those things that they should do, such as national defense and some other things. But not going into student loans and everything else. That should be a part of Congress, not the executive branch.
Well, especially since the student loans are going in to bail people out for having accepted a compassion program from the same people who now want to compassionately bail them out for having created the tragedy of that compassion program. So you were suggesting maybe that each of these cases of the president going in and grabbing some chunk of student loans and saying we can bail out these people, because he's trying to do it piecemeal now. Can he?
Right.
Is it possible he can shut down on this latest one?
I think it's going to be an uphill battle. It looks like he wants to do something very soon. I was just reading another article before I went on the air where he's talking about, you know, doing it within the next couple of weeks. So they're trying to fast track all of this. And the issue is if he goes in and he's able to make, you know, let's say he's able to forgive part of the interest on the debt for many of those that are low income folks who were on Pell Grants whenever they were in college and that sort of thing. Which, by the way, doesn't mean that they're low income today. They were just low income whenever they were in college. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you can't really go back and say, make it retroactive and make them pay that interest. So he's going to try to get this done quickly before the elections, because that's a lot of what this is all about, is what's happening before the election. And you brought up another good point, though, earlier, too, Todd, about how the value of higher education has been watered down tremendously over time. And this will do that even more, because now there is no cost. And in fact, whenever you think about going to college, if you're going to have forgiven later on, it's called moral hazard. You take more risk. You do that thing more. So more people want to go to college, increasing demand with the same amount of supply. We're going to see higher tuition and even more student loans that are going to be taken out. So this is going to make a bad situation worse.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. All right. We're talking with Vance Ginn, former chief economist for OMB, host of the Let People Prosper podcast. We'll take a quick break and then continue the conversation. Stay with us on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
All right, so we're exploring the latest debacle. I call it a debacle because I think overall we've got this tragic situation in the country where the perception of what government is supposed to be has been trashed by the big government of the present. And the average person thinks it's the government's job to be taking care of them and give them free stuff all the time. And that's not the capitalist free society we're supposed to be. Here to talk about it is Vance Ginn, former chief economist for the Office of Management and Budget. Thanks again, Vance, for taking some time to chat with us. So tell us anything else that you think we should know about this whole situation.
Well, you know, one thing I would bring up is, today we had new inflation numbers that have come out for CPI inflation of 3.5% year over year. And if you look at just the month of March, it was up 0.4%. So on an annualized basis, that's up almost 5% over the last year. So inflation's already picking back up. So if Biden comes in and wants to issue, I don't know, several billions more dollars of forgiveness from all this interest that he wants to wipe out, which, remember, there's nothing is free. It all comes from the taxpayer. That'll add more to the debt. The Fed will print that money, mm-hmm. and then we'll have more inflation. So this is just fueling more fuel on the fire. And I've also seen a lot of weaknesses in the labor market. So even though people may be helped a little bit from the interest on their student loans or something else, we're seeing a weakening labor market where their real wages, meaning the inflation-adjusted wages, are down 3.9%. since January of 2021, when Biden came in. This will not help them overcome the inflationary pressures. And in fact, it'll make it worse. And so I think this is something that we need to keep pushing back on from your audience and all the work, great work that you're doing.
You mean to push back on the idea that to make people understand that inflation is a government caused thing, and this government is working hard to cause more of it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because too often they'll blame it on everybody else, right? It's greedflation. It's the millionaires and billionaires that we need to tax them, you know, more. But that's not how the system works. I mean, it works from government failures of too much spending by Congress and then too much money printing by the Federal Reserve.
I heard Paul Krugman, the radical economist from the New York Times, who won a Nobel Prize, which to me didn't elevate him, but pushed down my impression of the Nobel Committee. But he was talking about this idea that inflation came from the government spending. And he said, really, there's so many indicators on on where inflation is coming from, and they don't indicate that that's the source. So the signs of it having come from the government stimulus are not there. Do you know anything about that and what he's referring to?
Well, yes, in the sense of there's this whole group called Modern Monetary Theory, which I don't know that he's necessarily totally associated with, but it's this idea that you can spend all you want. You're not going to run up inflation. What you can do if you do have inflation is just raise taxes, take people's money out of circulation, and then that will reduce inflation. And so while there's not a one-for-one connection between government spending and deficits and debt and inflation, what you do see almost a one-for-one relationship over time is money growth. So that's why I really focus a lot on, like Milton Friedman did and Hayek uh-huh. and Ludwig von Mises, some of those other economists that are out there in mainline economics, right, consider sound economics. It's about the money supply. And right now, the Federal Reserve's balance sheet is still $7.5 trillion, where a lot of that is government debt that they purchased over the last just few years. It was up to $9 trillion, but it was $4 trillion, Todd, before the pandemic. So we're still nearly double the amount of money sloshing around. So no wonder that the stock market is overpriced right now and that the housing market is starting to deflate and things of that nature, because there's so much liquidity and excess credit in the marketplace, which leads to the inflationary pressures that we have today.
So what's the main cause of inflation right now? Tell us your perception.
In my view, it's from the excessive money creation by the Federal Reserve.
Which is what it always is, right?
Right. Yes.
I do happen to have, it's funny you mentioned Milton Friedman.
I just want to settle for once and for all the point that inflation is a monetary phenomenon. That proposition has been documented over and over again. We have evidence for the United States for over 100 years, for Great Britain for 200 years, for Sweden for 200 years. There has never in history been an inflation that was not accompanied by an extremely rapid increase in the quantity of
money. So anyway, Milton is saying that what you're saying, right?
Yes. And I'm saying what he's saying. I mean, I learned it from him, from reading a lot of Milton Friedman over the years. And those things don't change. Like he said, I mean, you can go across countries, you can go across different time periods, and you find the same thing. And that's the same thing that happened during this period, was that we had massive increase in the national debt. But then the Fed purchased a lot of that during COVID and thereafter with all their quantitative easing that they do, which is where they go and buy debt and print money. They put money into circulation, which then we buy more goods and services. And at the same time, you have Congress overspending, which crowds out the economy. You have them taxing a lot more, and Biden regulating. So we have fewer goods and services for production and supply. So too much money chasing too few goods is inflation. And from the beginning, I was always like, look, this is going to be persistent inflation, because I saw how fast the money supply increased. Whereas you have folks like Paul Krugman, who won a Nobel Prize, I'll give him that, like you said. But he was saying this is going to be transitory inflation, meaning it was going to go up and come right back down. Mm. And if you think it's going to come right back down after 3 years, I don't know how long transitory is. I guess you can define it how many ever years you want.
Yeah. All right, Vance Ginn, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for taking the time to fill us in, and it's good to have the conversation. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Vance Ginn, former economist at the White House, the chief economist for the Office of Management and Budget not so long ago, and he's the host of a podcast called Let People Prosper. So that's the first half hour of the show. We've got a lot more to do. And the next half hour, I want to talk about what I introduced just before we put Vance on, and that is the idea of iatrogenesis. I'll get better with the word and we'll talk about it. Coming.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Up on WTIC.
Why wait? Come on. Oh, come on. Why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
It's WTIC. So what I'm excited about in general with doing talk radio and thinking about all these issues we get to think about and talk about is the idea that we can have certain revelations, little moments of revelation where you see things more clearly and you understand better the dynamics of what's destroying America, because we are going down the tubes, and we're not going down the tubes by accident. We're going down the tubes because our government, as it's currently structured, works hard to drive us down the tubes. They're the Thelma and Louise, you know, like think of our elected officials that way. They're at the wheel of the car driving it over the cliff, because that's what causes them to get reelected in their perception. You know, it's like Joe Biden. We number one problem in the country is arguably the fact that we spend way more money than we have. We owe $34 trillion in debt, and we probably owe tons more than that because they don't tell us the truth about much, certainly not the bad news. They cover up a lot of stuff. And we have no reason to think those situations are going to improve because the incentives are all going in the opposite direction, and they seem to be getting worse at it. There's nobody talking about cutting spending. It's a remarkable thing. So there is the challenge is, how do we look at all this and see it more clearly and understand why it's happening so we can understand better maybe how to stop it, or in a larger sense, how to save the country? So that's what I'm interested in doing, and I've got some good ideas here I want to share with you and see what we can figure out about connecting the dots. But Dave in Middletown is on the phone, so let's talk to Dave. What's up, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Todd? How are you today?
I'm rocking. How about you?
I'm doing all right. You know, when I listen to this, what I think about is, you know, both parties are to blame for where we are right now.
True.
Both parties.
And the fact that we have a two-party system, that we have parties.
If you're out there, if you're one of the 50%, you know, staunch Republican, staunch Democrat, shame on you. Okay, because both of these guys, they don't care about America. They don't care about Americans. What they care about is their party. This is why when you hear over the weekend when everybody's having their fundraisers, I made $90 million for the party. The party is getting rich, and the Americans are getting poor. Okay, this is all about party, what's good for the party and what's good for them. Okay, this has nothing to do with what's good for the country. And when Americans wake up and pull their head out of the butts of the parties that they are representing or they're supporting, that's when crap's going to hit the fan. And I'm hoping that happens sooner than later. You know what I mean? Because it's not going to get any better if Trump becomes in power. It's just going to be the same crap show. Okay, it's just going to be run by a different person. And a different name is going to be on that doorway.
So what makes you feel that maybe we're at a point where that might be starting to turn, that people might be starting to understand that the two-party system is a problem?
I don't think we're at the point, because you know why? We're still arguing with ourselves. We are arguing with ourselves. We are the ones that are blowing our lengthy relationships with our families at Christmas dinner because somebody opposes Trump or somebody supports Biden. And none of these people care about you or I. They only care about keeping themselves in power so they can become more rich. How does AOC become from a barmaid become to like become to having like $3 to $4 million of worth? You know why that happens? That's because of politics. And that politics and having her getting rich is all coming from me. It has nothing to do with bettering. If somehow backing abortion or doing something else with abortion, outcry of an abortion, if that was going to make me money, then that's what they're going to do. If you look at Donald Trump's views on abortion over the last 20 years, they flip-flop weekly, okay, from 1999. He was a registered Democrat, okay? But nobody says, and he talks about giving people abortion rights. And then even last week, he's deflecting, you know, that everybody should have abortion rights. Then the other day, he says, nope, it's got to go back onto the states. None of these people care about abortion rights. What they care about is keeping themselves in power, these lifelong politicians that get richer, richer, and richer, and people like who go to work and get up every day and pay their taxes get poorer, poorer, and poorer. And when the masses get to a point when they're so outraged at how their parties screw them over, then they're all going to wake up. But when you got 360 million Americans beating each other up, 50% there, it's bad. It's bad.
I love how charged up you are on all this. And
thanks,
you know, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, the founders warned us against having political parties. And I think this was the reason that they understood the political parties to be a false god that we would start to worship, which is what I think the dynamic is. That's just how it works. Because they're a intermediary. They're like the distributor that stands between us and the manufacturer. And we're supposed to be running our own manufacturing plant. Aaron's in Goshen. Hi, Aaron. Yes, sir, Aaron.
I'll just end it this way. Out of all the presidents that we've had in the last 30, 40 years, Trump is the only one that's lost money going into office and being president.
Sorry, Aaron, you're breaking up. I'm going to put you on hold and see what happens. Let's try RP in Wallingford. Hi, RP.
Hi, Todd. I'm glad you picked up right away. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Okay, so what I wanted to – am I on the air at this point?
You are on the air. I'm sorry. So I was talking to Aaron, and Aaron started to break up, so I figured I'd grab your call, and that's why it happened so disjointedly.
Thank you. Okay, so the gentleman that just called that was ranting and raving, I agree with a lot of what he said, that politicians just are getting richer and we're getting poorer. However, he thinks that there's a faction of the population. He thinks that the two-party systems are there. People are blindly following and they don't realize that they're getting everybody's getting screwed. But what I think he fails to understand is there is a significant amount of people that believe in big government and like the perks and the freebies and everything else. And that side's never going to wake up to anything.
Where do you get that sense from? How are you doing that calculation that a lot of people believe in big government?
Well, how are the inner cities doing that are on, entitlements? Are they ever going to get off of them?
They have to get off of entitlements. So you're right. Those people in particular have gotten used to the idea that they get paid to live and they get paid to vote for a particular party. And they've been separated from the spirit and the understanding of what America is supposed to be. Absolutely. But I feel like that could also come back quickly if people would just start articulating. Republicans need to articulate what the American system or government is and why you should have contempt for anybody offering you free money for you having simply pursued your own best interests.
Yeah, but if we don't, the only way that's going to come to the realization with people is we would have to cut welfare immediately. Just at some point, listen, we know they're never going to cut it, which means that 50 years from now when we're gone, we're still going to be having the same conversations and the same amount of people are going to be dependent on the government. It's never going to stop until you stop welfare. And, you know, and I who's going to, you know, I read something you could get. I think the figure was it was between $55,000 and $65,000 worth of, you know, SNAP and the other food thing and rent subsidies. Who's going to make go out and work even for $70,000 or $80,000, which they can't even make because they have no skill set. Even if they can make $80,000, why would you go out there and work for $60,000? I mean, when you can stay home and make $60,000 with your gas and your clothes and everything else, you're breaking even. So that faction is never going to come around until we cut it, and we won't cut it. So it's not.
Well, at some point we're going to have to cut it, and that's when the dynamics change. So the inputs shift at some point because we can't keep on driving the car off the cliff forever because eventually the nose of the car goes into the ground, and that's the end of the ride.
Well, maybe. And then one thing I disagree with him is Biden is absolutely an opportunist. He has absolutely no beliefs in anything. Okay, nothing. And he'll do anything for power and money. He's corrupt as they come. However, Trump, I think he loves the spotlight. There's no question. And he definitely enjoys the adulation and everything else. But I think he really does believe in America, the American system of government. And I think he does enjoy seeing people, especially the middle class, succeed. So I disagree with him there, too, because the guy lost net worth. I'm so sick of hearing him, people say about, oh, he only cares about his rich buddies and all that crap. That's a bunch of BS. The guy lost net worth. Biden has made tremendous amounts of net worth while in office. And to me, that's the only measure of whether a politician is corrupt or is in it for the right reason.
RP, thanks for the call. It's great to hear from you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Aaron, hold on one sec. We're going to go to break, and we'll go to you next and give another try. Coming up on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
Okay, WTIC. Aaron's been waiting a long time because we had signal problems. Let's see if you're good now, Aaron.
Yeah, I got full service now.
Good.
I'm in a bad zone, I don't tell you.
Yeah, you're not the first person it's happened to.
Well, hopefully it's the first and the last time it happens to me. But anyways, Trump is the only president in the last, like, 20 years, 30 years that's gone into office and lost money. All the other presidents have prospered while they've been president. Like, look at the Obamas. I mean, they went from being worth like $1 million to being worth over $150 million.
Yeah, but they had no money when they came in. So it's a different kind of situation.
That's what I'm saying. How much did they make in office, and how much did Trump lose when he took office? So therefore, the caller's argument is null and void because Trump isn't doing it for financial gain. Obviously, he's insane if he's doing it for financial gain. He's losing his butt. I mean, he's losing his money. He's losing everything because he's trying to do what's right. And I'll say this, too. 4 years of Trump, the country prospered. 50 years of Biden suffrage, you see the proof is in the pudding. And if we look at it this way, and I'll be honest with you, I am not a two-party person. I think that we need to have common sense politics. I wish we could have a common sense, you know, branch of government that's like, hey, we're going to actually implement things that make sense to people and not, you know, and not pander to certain groups and minorities and majorities and so on and so forth. We actually did what was right for the people. That would be the party. That would be
yes, sense. The right for the people party.
Exactly. And I'll leave you with this. I think that we all need to look back into Thomas Jefferson's writings of the Constitution and what he said would happen and how we would be corrupt and how we would know we were corrupt if certain things happened. And one of those would be if those who are unwilling to work become prosperous by those who are willing to work, we are a corrupt nation. Mm-hmm. If we build upon ourselves as we are in Europe, we will become a corrupt nation, mentioning cities. Thomas Jefferson was more about spreading this country out. He knew that we had such a large landmass and we had such diverse area and resources that for all of us to just sit there and continue to put it into, you know, this into cities was going to cause nothing but corruption and issues later on. So I would like everybody to look into Thomas Jefferson. The man is a prophet, essentially, to what is happening currently
yes.
with the United States of America.
And thank you, Aaron.
With that, Todd, great program.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for the call. 860-522-9842. Dave in Windsor. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Todd. You know, I kind of get a kick out of this. Trump has never done anything in his life unless it was for money. Are you kidding me? He just tried to scam the whole government. I mean, look what he did with his golf alone. Cost the taxpayers like $150 million playing golf. I mean, the guy's transactional. And as far as that goes, he's also the only president that's left office recently, in recent history, with more people unemployed than when he came in. And with the $8 trillion deficit. So I don't know what's so great about this guy.
Well, the $8 trillion is a legitimate. He added $8 trillion to the deficit. That's a legitimate knock. To say that he the employment situation got bad under him, yeah, well, COVID came. And so whoever was sitting in the seat at that time, no matter what policies they pursued, would have had the same results if they followed the same COVID policy. And I think, unfortunately, I don't know anybody who wouldn't have followed bad COVID policy and done what Trump did.
As far as, well, yeah, you know.
As far as shutdowns and stuff.
Yeah,
I agree with you on the thing with Trump because I don't know if Trump's lost money or not. But what I think he knows is that being president put him into another stratosphere in terms of the magnitude of his power, and that he would be able to, when he launched a couple of weeks ago, when they launched the new company with the social media, with Truth Social, and that went public, that shot up to being worth $8 billion.
The emergency alert system.
I guess we're back. Sorry, I didn't know we were having a test of the emergency alert system, so that was a bit of a surprise. Anyway, it's a good conversation, and I appreciate everybody taking part in it. That was spontaneous, and we can talk more about that, and I've got my things still I want to play and introduce you to, and we're going to get a traffic update and a news update, and then we'll be off into the 4 o'clock hour. 4:40, Joe Markley is here, and at 5:40, Len Susio will be here. He hasn't been on in a while. He's a busy man these days. We'll talk to him and have a good time doing it. Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. How are the roads, Mark?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.